In the spring of 2016, the people of my home planet, Kerberfuschlagen, decided to conduct an experiment. Three humans from the planet Earth, Dan, Mike, and Jesse, were abducted. In order to study their culture, we forced them to discuss a highly varied selection of topics ranging from pop culture to the paranormal. We are beginning to regret this. Welcome to Podcast 1289. Experiment 005. Personal Ghost Stories. Joining Dan, Mike, and Jesse today are Grant, Chef Bagels, John, and Tristan.
That's exactly why I don't go to nice restaurants, because I never know how to dress. If I can't wear jeans and a tank top, that ain't happening.
Oh, it's so stressful. I know, right? Because I'm just like, yo, I really want to eat this food, but at the same time, I don't want to look like the fucking schlub that I really am.
Well, the good thing
is, as someone who works in a restaurant like that, if I may, we don't care, and no one really should care. Like,
yeah,
I have people, like, I've taken calls for reservations before, and the people are like, oh, so, like, is there a dress code? And I was like, ma'am, we have people coming in here in
fucking Riddler costumes.
That's only when Jesse comes to town.
That shit happened to me once before. There's that really famous restaurant in New Orleans, Arnold's.
The burger stand from Happy Days?
Arnold's.
And, you know, I went there with my mom, and I had no idea. Like, people were wearing, like, tuxes and shit, and I'm, like, 18. I'm in, like, a band shirt that's got, like, fucking armpit sweat stains and, like...
You in your Jats shirt?
No, I was in this, like... I got this fucking shirt from this band called 1033, and they were, like, a New Jersey Christian hardcore band.
Dude, their van was always parked in Clayton. I know what you're talking about.
Stop flushing goddamn toilets on while we're recording. Fuck.
Sorry, I had to take a shit.
I'm going to have to take a leak in 5 minutes, so.
I mean, just do it.
5 minutes exactly?
You're allowed.
Yeah, 5 minutes exactly.
Exactly 5 minutes. If it's like 5 minutes in 1 second, I'm dead.
Well, welcome to Podcast 1289. I'm one of your many hosts, Jesse, and we've got your usual rogues gallery, as I like to call us here today. We've got Dan.
Hey, everybody.
We got Mike.
Yay.
We got
Classic Mike.
Classic Mike.
Classic Mike.
Canon Mike.
Textbook.
Back again with us, we've got our special guests. We've got Chef Bagels in the house.
What's up, everybody?
We've got our everyone's favorite nihilist next to Herzog. We've got John.
Is this connection still there? I don't trust this connection. I'm sorry.
NSA.
Every other time we do this, this thing just shits itself endlessly, and I'm like, oh.
Well, every other time, so it'll be fine next time.
Yeah, okay. There you go.
Back with us again, we got Grant.
Yay. Or boo. I don't know.
We got Grant, man. You know, we have a Hulk, we got a Grant.
One of those is much more useful than the other.
I really hope that you look like Mark Ruffalo.
Do you not know what I look like?
I told you, he looks like Egon from the real Ghostbusters.
I do kind of look like Egon from the real Ghostbusters.
Next dog I get, I'm going to name him Bark Ruffalo.
Oh, that's good.
That's sad. And today, for the very first time on our little podcast here, we've got a good friend of Dan's, now a friend of the show. We have got Tristan here. Tristan is going to be our resident historian. She's a Tristorian.
Oh, wow. That wasn't clever at all.
I run a low-hanging fruit stand.
She'll fit in just fine, guys.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. LBJ had some low-hanging fruits.
Listen, I need more room for my nuts.
I need extra. Can you make some more room in the crotch area? Okay, no problem, sir, because I got a big dick. All right, I kind of got where you're going, but it's all right.
I got a knife, too.
And that's called implication. Alrighty.
Today we're going to be, aside from talking about our leak schedules, we're going to be talking about some personal ghost stories. Now, who wants to go first?
I saw my hopes and dreams walking down the street once.
Come on, John, light up.
Gotta light the fuck up. Come on, just come on.
Well, I don't know, Dan, I know you went first last time, but I know yours is short because it's separate from the murder house one.
Ah, fuck it. So, yeah, I grew up in the same house my entire life. My parents still live there. And When I moved into it, the house was easily like 60, 70 years old at the time. So it's pushing 100 now. The family who lived in it before me were the Carrolls, and my parents bought this house from them after Mrs. Carroll passed away.
She passed away in the house.
Yeah, Mrs. I have no idea what her first name is. My parents always called her Mrs. Carroll. And
her name
is
Christmas.
Shut the fuck up.
So, Mrs. Carroll passed away in our house, yes. So I always grew up to believe that, like, I lived in a haunted house because my mom would always make jokes about it.
I'm convinced your mom's a psychopath. Your mom made your dad sleep in a murder room for years and didn't...
What? That's true.
Please tell me your mom used to tell you the ghost was going to kidnap you.
Robert, why don't we retire to the murder room?
But yeah, like, I always grew up to believe I lived in a haunted house because, like, now that I'm talking about it, like, a few more of the stories are coming into my head. And, like, one of them is when we went on our family vacation to Canada.
Oh, my God, the house is haunted by Mrs. Carroll.
Sorry. Oh, damn.
My mom had a friend of ours watching the house for us, and he said that the second night he stayed there, he said to my mom, "He's like, you didn't tell me your house was haunted," and she was like, "Yeah, no, that's Mrs. Carroll. It's fine. She won't bother you." The coffee pot turned on, lights would turn on, things like that. So it could be A, we had a ghost, or B, he was just stoned or something. I don't know. But one story that sticks out is my mom, after her mother passed away, she got one of her watches that she would always wear. So it was just one of those things, like, you know, a lot of sentimental value. You would, like, take good care of it, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, my mom would, like, she had this watch, so she would always put it in the same place just to, you know, just one of those habits. Like, you always put your keys in the same place, blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
So she put the watch there, and then, like, the next day she went to go get it, and it wasn't there. So she was, like, thinking, like, well, maybe I did it, like, somewhere else. Like, you know, you sometimes just move things, whatever. So
sometimes I like to move it. Sorry.
But, like, you know, a couple weeks went by, she still couldn't find this thing. And I remember her, like, just sitting at, like, her computer or something, and I was, like, watching TV or whatever. And she just gets up and walks directly into the kitchen. And then I just hear her go, "Well, son of a bitch." And she comes back. She's holding this watch. And I'm like, "Well, shit. How long have you been, like, looking for that?" And it's like, "Yeah, about 6 weeks or so." And
Richard did it. He was like, "This is what you get for making me sleep in the murder room, Robin."
Fake the haunting. It's like revenge that you can pull your entire life. That's brilliant.
He's been gaslighting your mom for fucking years now.
I just, like, picture, like, Richard is, like, at the national park he works at with, like, his other ranger buddies, and he's just, like, sucking on a beer, just like, "Yeah, I made her think the house was haunted. I hid her watch in the sock drawer." All right, now where's that bear that keeps stealing picnic baskets?
So, wait, she walked in and she had been missing it for 6 weeks?
Yeah.
And Jesus, that is weird.
So I'm like, "Well, where was it?" She's like, "It was sitting right on top of the microwave." And we had, like, one of those gigantic, like, TV-sized microwaves. And it had, like, a shelf around it and a shelf on top of it that, like, it would hold, like, newspapers, coupons. There was a large ashtray full of pennies and shit, I remember. But...
That's your college fund.
It's like my great-grandma's house.
But it was on top of that. And she was like, "Yeah, like, I was just sitting here and just got up, walked in there," and she was like, "It just felt like something popped into my head to go check this out." So we just blamed it on Mrs. Carroll. So, like, yeah, Mrs. Carroll was the kind of ghost that would just, like, she would hide things. Like, things would go missing, they would pop up later. It was never anything, like, super scary or anything like that. I guess just to house guests and then, like, being exacerbated by our cats and things like that.
All right, moving along. Now, Tristan, you said you've got some ghost stories.
Well, I have a few, and plus I have a creepy kid. My son, when he was about three, we'll say 2 or 3 years old, he's going on 6 now, he used to play in his room all the time. I mean, he was the only kid for 5 years. So he's playing in his room, playing with his toys, you know, minding his own business, whatever, completely cool. And I come in there one day, and he's talking to somebody, and I'm just like... Who you talking to?
We're having a conversation.
He's like, "Jesse."
Was he talking to me?
No, that's the kid's name. This is the kid's name. So he's sitting in the middle of his room playing with his blocks, talking to somebody, which, you know, as a little kid, you just, okay, they have an overactive imagination.
Sure, imaginary friend or something.
Yeah, and so I didn't think anything of it. And then, you know, my mom's like, why don't you ask him what he looks like? I'm like, okay. So I'm sitting there, I'm like, so what does Jesse look like? And he's like, well, he's a brown boy that has a boo-boo on his chest.
Bye.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
No.
He's
so
sure.
Needless to say, I stopped asking about his imaginary friends.
No, because, like, when something like that happens, you, like, expect, like, the kid to go, well, his head is made of green beans and his arms are spaghetti. And you go, oh, okay, you're just being a stupid kid and you've got an imaginary friend.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Do you live in the house still that he,
No, it was an old apartment of ours. We still live in the same town, but... It was like, it was an apartment. Like, there was nothing, you know, it wasn't an old building, nothing. Although we lived fairly close to an old cemetery, mm-hmm. which I've kind of been interested into looking into, but I don't want to find out if I'm right, you know?
You don't live there anymore.
Brown boy.
Oh, I live right down the road from where I used to live.
Oh, fuck that.
Yeah, so my kid's imaginary friend was probably a dead boy.
Was that, like, an isolated incident, or did, like, other shit happen after that?
That was probably the first incident. Uh-huh. And then there was another time, like, he's named after my great-grandfather. My great-grandfather passed away in 2007. My son was born in 2010. I don't have any pictures up of my family in my house, nothing like that. Like, my pictures consist of my son. So my son has no idea who this guy is.
One but night, not your other son. Who's the favorite?
He wakes up one day from his nap, and he's talking about Papaw in the clouds. He's, like, pulling out his teeth, and I'm like, what the hell? Like, I thought he might have been talking about my dad. So, you know, whatever. Go on about that. He goes, no, no, Mom. Papaw in the clouds. Well, I have a picture of my grandfather up in the closet, and I pull it down. He goes, Mama, Papaw in the clouds, and pulling out his teeth. Well, one of the things my grandfather used to do with me and my brother when we were kids is pull out his false teeth to make us laugh.
Oh, shit.
Which, in retrospect, is kind of creepy.
That's
what he used to do. So, I mean, my son, you know, 3 years old, completely innocent, just like, yeah, Papaw in the clouds. Okay, cool, that's fine.
Did you call him Papa? Was he Grandpa to you, or was he
Papaw?
He was Papaw?
Yeah, Papaw.
Oh, wow. But he didn't...
Your kid even knew your pet nickname for him. You need to move out and get a new kid. So what happened after that?
My grandma, which she was married to the grandpa that we assumed my son was seeing, passed away. My son wasn't very familiar with her because she was in a nursing home, had Alzheimer's, all of that. But I'm going to the hospice, driving over there. You know, I get there and like, yeah, she's passed. So my mom takes my son out so I can grieve without freaking him out. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm upset. So she takes him outside so he doesn't see me upset. He had my mom's hand, and he just looked there. He goes, that's okay, Meemaw. Mama is with Papaw in the clouds. Mind you, this is probably 8 months after the initial Papaw in the clouds incident.
When people ask me who I'm voting for in November, I'm just going to be like, little brown boy with a boo-boo on his chest, 16. Were those the big three with your son?
The biggest ones? I mean, he'd always do, like, little things. Like, he had night terrors. The kid had night terrors, I swear, every night for about a year straight. You know, certain things.
How old was he at the time?
I would say the night terror started when he was about a year, which his doctor even thought was odd. And then probably continued till he was about 4 years old.
What is it like for him? Like, does he just, like, scream?
Yeah, like, I mean, for him, it was like he was asleep, but his eyes are open. And it's like he's staring off at nothing. He has no idea that either me or my husband were holding him, had no idea what was going on. Just screaming, like, at the top of his lungs as if somebody were actually hurting him.
Oh, wow.
And there was nothing we could do. Like, I mean, it was the point we had to walk him around outside because you can't stop. You kind of have to ride it out.
Yeah.
And
then, like, I mean, dunk him in water.
Doesn't work for the terrorist, Dan.
Don't dunk your baby in water.
That just turns that game into a water level. It's fine.
If I could give you any kind of advice, please do not take any hotel caretaker jobs anytime soon with a son like that.
Yeah, I'm going to stand clear of that. I read the book and seen the movie.
So it was mostly just those three times where he said he saw, like, your grandfather.
I mean,
and...
He always did, like, little stuff. Just, like, little things that you can't really, you don't really have a word for. Or, you know, oh, I hear them. Yeah, they're talking. And he'd make, like, little references almost like there was, like, my old mommy. Just off-color things that you don't really dive into deeper.
He's been here before.
I remember reading this this story, and it was kind of like loosely based on like or this theory. It was kind of loosely based on like resurrection. Mm-hmm. And what it was is a lot of kids remember memories of their past lives. And a lot of it is that's why kids are a little more like kind of sensitive to that kind of thing is because sort of connected. I mean, I don't personally believe in any of that anymore, but that was something I always thought. My mom used to say when I was a little kid, I used to just tell her all the time, I want to go home, even when we were at home. And she said it would really freak her out. I would just be like, Mom, I just want to go home. When I was a kid, my theory on why I said it, and I think I even realized this, was it was just kind of a cathartic thing to say. Like when I was exhausted and I was a kid and I didn't have the best way of expressing myself yet, I would just be like, oh, I just want to go home. And it didn't mean anything. Like, I didn't think I lived anywhere else. It was just like,
That's how you've seen some people reacting to feeling overwhelmed or whatever.
Exactly. Like, I would be overwhelmed.
Like, that's just what people say.
Yeah, exactly.
In terms
exactly.
of any of his other stuff, I will say that we've always been very careful about what he watches because he's a sensitive kid anyways. Like, he asks a million and one questions about everything. He's smart as a I mean, he knows way more than he probably should, but we were always and always have been and still are very careful about what he witnesses and watches. We don't play violent games, no violent. We don't even watch the news around him.
See, I haven't told him about the Zionist conspiracy or anything like that.
Oh, yeah.
You mean the rest WrestleMania conspiracy.
Yes.
You broke my heart, Sean.
Cue Jesse Ventura.
Listen, you mean to tell me you haven't told your kid about the government black ops operations to take down the towers with holograms and satanic rituals? Well, I mean, you're just playing the government line there, Tristan.
Oh, God.
I was the governor.
I was going to say, that man was a governor.
A Navy SEAL. And I fought a predator.
Those were just your roles, Governor Ventura. No, they were fact.
You never seen my documentary, Predator? Well, let me tell you.
Did you die? I came back.
I found the resurrection stone. I hid it in the gap between my teeth because I ain't got time to bleed. And listen, you can hear more about the resurrection stone on Infowars.com.
Oh, God, is Jesse Ventura an Alex Jones guy?
Well, yeah, I am Alex Jones and I am Jesse Ventura at the same time. I have schizophrenia.
So, your son, you said he's six?
He'll be six next month, yeah. Well, technically in 12 days. He was watching nothing but Blue's Clues, so that was just...
Well, let me tell you about the satanic incantations that Steve has been implanting in your head.
Now,
who was supposed to be leading us to 9/11 for years?
Let me tell you, salt and pepper on Blue's Clues, those are obviously the towers. Let me tell you something I read in the Magenta dossier.
I like the idea of Jesse Ventura just not saying words correctly.
Yeah, I went to that restaurant in New Orleans that they were talking about. I got myself a souffle.
So you used to live by a graveyard, you said?
We lived literally two houses down from the apartment complex we used to live in. So we still live right by the cemetery.
How old is the cemetery? You said you were like in Mothman country, so I assume it's kind of old.
Well, the one that I think would probably be where the dead child is buried is probably easily, I would say, the earliest death I saw would be around 1890, give or take.
Okay, okay.
So, I mean, it's a fairly old cemetery, but it's also right next to a newer cemetery, so fuck for all I know, this kid could have died in 2005.
Well, that's what I wonder. I wonder if it is a child, you know, a child probably wants to interact with another child, you know, maybe the spirit doesn't know that he's passed on kind of thing.
Dude, you got a hole in your chest. I hate to break this to you, but you're dead.
Nothing wrong with that.
Well, that's the thing. I think it might be kind of interesting to go over there and, like, see if there are any Jessies, especially if they're young.
What's the name of the cemetery? I can go and find a grave.
Oh, wow. You can do that on the internet? The internet's amazing.
Yeah, but really, hold on. Give me 2 seconds to pull
it
up.
Yeah, yeah. Let's do this right now.
No. Yeah, let's do this. That's a great idea. Oh, wow. There's a bunch of Jessies. Holy shit. Holy shit. Holy shit.
Yeah. There's some young ones, too. Jesse Jarrett.
Where do you see this?
1917 to 1944. He was killed in World War II. Chest boo boo.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Maybe.
Cause of death. Chest boo boo.
He was 27.
Well, I mean, we had those baby monitors, you know, like, fuck, those pick up all sorts of feeds, but it was making weird noises one night, and I just said, fuck that shit, and threw it, just threw it out, like, I ain't taking any chances here.
Paranormal, no, I know, and it's that was your chance to connect with Jesse, you would have been able to talk to them, motherfucker.
Yeah.
I don't...
Nah, they're just monitors, they don't work like walkie-talkies.
Well, what is the thing called, the voice phenomenon, where, like, you can pick up their...
Electronic voice phenomenon.
Yeah.
Phenomena.
And like the more like his toys coming on and shit like that. Yeah, no, I wouldn't want to know. I'm good.
Oh yeah. So what about these college stories that we were hearing about?
Okay.
Oh yeah.
I'm not sure how many of you all are, if any of y'all are familiar with Ohio University, but supposedly it's like one
intimately.
Of Ohio University.
So mind you, when I went to OU, I had no idea stories behind it. Honestly, when I went to OU, I stepped foot on the college campus as a senior and like, fuck, this is where I want to go. The campus is beautiful. The town is beautiful. You know, there's nowhere else I could ever picture going to school. Sure. So I had no idea about the history. And so I'm moving into my dorm by myself. My roommate hadn't moved in yet. And I'm just, you know, spending the night in my dorm, blah, 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 blah. Yay, I'm on my
own. It was a weird setup to that room.
The first one, not the second one, the one you and you know who and Sam came to see me in.
Oh,
Voldemort was there?
Yeah. No, I'm talking about the one that we helped you move into.
Yeah, well, yeah, that one was a weird setup. That's a different story.
Never mind.
Chronologically, my first year was in Trudley Hall, so...
Okay.
And mind you, I lived on the fourth floor, so there's, like, the way these dorms are set up, there's only 12 girls, all of us on, so we all know who each other is. There's no mistaking it. And I go to go get some water out of the water fountain, and I hear somebody crying in the bathroom. And I'm like, shit, fuck, what happened? Somebody, you know, somebody went to a party, he's drunk, whatever. So I go in the bathroom to look, fuck, nobody there.
Bye.
Nobody. So I'm like, I go back to my room, and I'm laying in bed watching TV, turn the TV off. Fucker comes back on, and I'm like, okay, old building, electrical glitch, no big deal, no problem.
I don't know if electricity works that way.
Hey, don't mess with my rationalization. So I just like, you know what, whatever, it can stay on, I'm going to go to sleep. So that was like my first week there, like the first few nights, that's when that happened. So where my room is I was right beside a stairwell, and the room next to me had nobody in it. So I'm on the fourth floor, there's nobody above us, there's nobody beside on either side of me. Another night, I'm hearing furniture moving around above me. There's nobody fucking above me. Nobody there. All kinds, like all throughout the semester, that's what I was dealing with. So you just kind of get used to it. And I'm just like, okay, this is OU, I guess. I'm going to move on. Second year, this is when Dan's talking about the room that he helped me move into. One night, I was up writing a paper, no big deal, went to sleep. It was like 4 o'clock in the morning. I woke up, and every one of my closet doors, every one of my drawers was open. Stuff that was on my desk was sitting in the middle of my floor. I live in a single dorm. I did not have a roommate. I was by myself.
Yeah, that's... no person with stacked books like this.
Yeah, so that's what I had woken up to, and I'm like, fuck.
Oh, shit.
I am going to go.
How did they stack the books?
They were just stacked neatly in the middle of the floor. Like, all of my books stacked.
Dead center.
With my pens right beside it, all nice and neat. Like, the stuff on my desk was in my floor. And it was just, I'm just sitting there, I'm going to grab my paper, and I walk on to class. Thankfully, nothing happened during the daytime, and I came back, closed my closet door, my drawers, and pretended nothing ever happened.
Goddamn, that's a scary story. Now, John, you said you got a story too, right?
It possibly paranormal. I say possibly because, one, I'm not the type who's really keen on jumping to the paranormal as an explanation for something that you don't otherwise have an explanation for. But anyway, here goes. Somewhere around, like, late elementary school, right? Maybe early middle school. I don't know. Mm. Been a long time. One night, I saw what looked like the very faint outline. What looked like a silhouette, right? Mm. Just kind of chilling perpendicular to my bed. Not doing anything, just there. And at the time, I couldn't decide whether or not I was actually seeing somebody there or if it was just dark and that was what it just looked like to me, right? But what freaked me out was, I think it was the day after, my sister asked me at breakfast, was Dad kneeling across from your bed last night?
What the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude.
To this day, I have no explanation for it. I just know it was a weird thing that happened.
Is this where pickle time started?
God, I hope not.
Hashtag too spooky for me. Join us again next week for another installment of Podcast 1289.